because he trusts in you, trust in the Lord forever, in the Lord, for in the Lord is everlasting strength.
Well, good morning. You all will be relieved this morning. The gospel according to Sonny Pulliam is at the end of 20 minutes, that's it. Buzzer goes off, can't say any more. That's according to Sonny. I appreciate Edwin leading that song, and it goes along very well with my sermon this morning. On the screen, you'll notice several symbols for peace. Peace is something that men have sought throughout time, especially world peace been sought. But it's eluded us, and it probably will continue to elude us. Even our own country has been at war ever since 9/11. But there is a peace that is possible, and we're talking about inner peace, the peace that comes from God. I want you to notice our scripture again. If I can get this working, I've got to have it on. Notice that with the scripture again with me again. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, for he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, that is, for in God, the Lord is everlasting strength. Perfect peace. No other source can give it to us. And the passage says that our mind must be stayed on God. That is, it must be focused on God, and we must trust in him. So to trust in him, we're going to look at characteristics that are unique to God. That is, they're unmatched by anything else. And that way, if we know those characteristics, then our mind will be focused on, and we will trust in him. So the four characteristics that I'm talking about are God's faithfulness, his omniscience. And I know that's a big word, but that just means that he knows everything. And omnipresence, he is everywhere. And God's love. Those are unique to God, not matched by anyone or anything. We remember them, then we will have focus on him, and we will have perfect peace. Let's talk about faithfulness first. It's impossible for God to go back on a promise. His promises are sure. Hebrews 6:17 and 18 tells us that. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. Now my version uses the word immutable. Your version may say unchangeable. Unchangeable means the same thing, unchangeable. God's word is unchangeable. He cannot go back on it. You know, sometimes people will make promises and they give their word frivolously, not meaning it. They go back on it. Not so with God. His promise to us is unchangeable. It will come about. We can know it with full certainty. God is faithful. Psalms 37:4 is a passage misunderstood by many. There David wrote, "Delight yourself always in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." Now those who misunderstand that, they pray and they think that God will make good on all that they desire. The more they seek, perhaps more, a bigger bank account, bigger house, better health, and when it doesn't happen, they're frustrated by it. Well, they misunderstand because they have to take in the whole context of Psalms 37. It's in essence telling us not to be envious of the wicked, not to wish to have more things like some of the wicked, and not to wonder why they're getting away with certain things, but instead to trust in the Lord, trust in Him, delight in Him. You have to read verses 3 through 5 together. Trust in the Lord. Do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself always in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. And in verse 5 it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. So what we must do is trust in the Lord, delight in Him, and then commit to Him. That's where our treasure needs to be. Not in things of this world, but our treasure must be in pleasing Him, serving Him, delighting in Him. And we are at peace when we look for nothing more. In 1 John 5:14 is a similar passage. There John wrote, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." The key part of that is according to His will. What we seek must be in according to God's will. That's when He makes good on it. He makes good on His word, and will keep. He will answer our prayer. One more thing on the faithfulness of God: we are never forgotten. We are never forgotten. Psalm 77 assures us of that. There the psalmist, he asks, has God forgotten him? In verse 9 he says, has God forgotten to be gracious? Has He in anger shut up His tender mercies? But then the psalmist, he answers his own question of doubt. Verse 11 he says, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. We must do the same. Meditate on God. Meditate on what He's done for us in the past. Meditate on what He did for the Israelites. Know that He is true to His word. And Jesus told us the same thing. In Luke 12 and verse 6, He said, are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins? And yet not one of them is forgotten by God. For the very hairs of your head are numbered. Therefore do not fear, for you are more valuable than many sparrows. Yes, we are never forgotten, and God's promises are sure. Next, we're going to talk about God's omniscience. You know, at first that might seem like a simple thing. God knows everything. But the more you consider that, the more you dwell on it, you come to realize what an awesome thought that is. What an incredible truth that is. The psalmist, he said it very well. In Psalms 147, verses 4 and 5, he says, He determines the number of stars and knows them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Scientists have tried to number the stars, and they estimate that there are 70,000 million, million, million. That's 70 with 22 zeros after it. Incredible number. More sands and more grains, more stars than there are grains on all the beaches of the world. And yet God knows all the stars. And as we think about his omniscience, we should think about what he knew about three men. First one we'll think about is Joseph. Remember, Joseph was the boy who had the coat with many colors. We all remember the story. His brothers were jealous of him, and so they sold him into slavery. But through a series of events, Joseph arose through that. Rose from being a slave to a prisoner in Egyptian prison, and then to being a ruler, an Egyptian ruler. Why? So that he would be there when his brothers and his family came seeking food. He could have been angry with his brothers, but he was not. He did not seek revenge. He said, "And now do not be distressed. Do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you." Genesis 45, verse 5. Joseph understood the omniscience of God. He understood that God knew it all, and that he had pre-planned that he would be there for his family. David also understood the omniscience of God. In Psalms 139, verses 1 through 4, he said, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out, my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." We should know, like David, that God knows our thoughts even before we think them. God knows what we're going to say even before we say it. Yes, he knows everything. And God does not just continually learn. He knows what's going to happen far into the future. He knows it all. And that's why he pre-planned the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for us. Tells us in 1 Peter 1:20, "He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake." Yes, God planned it from the very beginning. And we as Christians, we can have confidence knowing that. It's not because of what we know, but because of what God knows and what God planned from the very beginning, planned far ahead of time. Now let's talk about omnipresence. We are promised in Hebrews 13, verse 5, "He himself has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me." Will not fear what man can do to me. God has promised to always be with us. Several years ago, my family went to San Diego. And while we were there, we visited the aircraft carrier Midway. First thing I wanted to do was to go up in the conning tower, see that part. go up to where the part where they call the bridge. And the captain, he's up there. And the Navy says that whenever there's a mission going on, planes take off or there's men, his airmen are in flight, or they get ready to land, the captain watches over them. He's there for them. Well, our Heavenly Father is like that, but even more. Our Heavenly Father is a good shepherd. We're all familiar with the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maketh me lie down in green pastures. Leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk in the valley, shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, that's a very good description of our Lord, because he is like a good shepherd. He does watch over us. And a shepherd, he doesn't just take his sheep to greener pastures and to the water. He protects them from wild animals. And the sheep respond to his voice. Our Father is like that. Our Father takes care of us. Takes care of us spiritually. And Jesus, he is a good shepherd too. And he says so as well. In John 10, verses 11 through 15, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches him and scatters him. He flees because he is a hired hand, cares nothing for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. Jesus has laid down his life for us. He is the good shepherd as well. One more thing about omnipresent. We should think of ourselves as being partners with God. Whatever we set out to do, think about having God with us. Pray to him. Seek his guidance. Seek his reassurance. Know that he is with us. I like the words of Joshua. Joshua in chapter 1 and verses 5 through 6 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you should devise an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give to them. Joshua had the reassurance of God. As God was to Moses, he was to Joshua. And he will be to us as well. Seek his guidance. Know that he is with you. Finally, we can have perfect peace when we remember the love of God. The love of God is unmatched by anyone. I hope you look at this passage with me. It's up on the screen, but you may want to mark it in your Bible. 1 John 4, 16 through 18. And we have known and believe the love of God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. You know, so many times we have doubts. And Christians have doubts. Wondering if they're doing enough to please our Father. And it's no wonder, because the way the world is, you have to win people's approval. You have to earn their love. That is with most people. You have to earn their love. But not so with God. God does not require we earn his love. As it says there in that passage, love has been perfected among us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. No fear in God's love, because of God's love. Perfect love that God gave through his Son has been given to us through Christ. It also says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then the blood of Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sins. And what that says to us is that God does not just forgive our sins in the past, he forgives the sins we do now and in the future. We can have a lot of confidence in knowing that. And it's because of his love, his unmatched love. Paul said a very similar thought. He said, for there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Romans 8, verse 1. God's love is unmatched by anyone. And we should also know that God's love is eternal. God's love is eternal. There's a song by George Strait. And it says this point very well. One of my favorite songs. The song is called Love Without End, Amen. In the last verse, it reads like this. Last night I dreamed I died and stood outside the pearly gates, when suddenly I realized there must be some mistake. They knew half the things I'd done. They'd never let me in. And somewhere from the other side, I heard these words again. Let me tell you a secret about a father's love. Secret that my father said was just between us. He said, fathers don't just love their children every now and then. It's a love without end. Amen. A love without end. Amen. I don't know where George Strait got the idea, but he is right. He is correct. God's love has no end. It is eternal. Everlasting. One more thing about God's love. And this is found in Romans 8, 38. Nothing can come between us and God's love. Romans 8, 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we are in Christ, nothing can come between us. Nothing can come between us and God's love when we are in Christ. God's love certainly is unmatched. So what we have discussed characteristics of God's love, unmatched by any other. And when we know them and believe in them, remind ourselves frequently of them, we can have perfect peace. And remember that perfect peace is promised through Christ. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's the words of Christ in John 14:27. I hope you have perfect peace this morning. I hope you have accepted Christ as your Savior, confessed Him before men, and been baptized. If not, you have that opportunity this morning. And we encourage you to come. Or if you would like us to pray with you, you can certainly come for that as well. Don't put it off. Come as we stand and sing.